Well, I want to continue tonight what I began this morning. And we talked about taking heed. This morning we talked about hearing, taking heed how we hear. And we talked about some ways that we do not need to hear as children of God. Tonight I want to continue that. And again, it comes from the passage that was read for us this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 12 and 13, let's read that again, kind of familiarize ourselves with what we're talking about. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. This morning we talked about warnings. We talked about the warning signs that we see everywhere around us that help us be informed about things that are dangerous in our lives. And we talked about warning signs we will find at home. We find warning signs here at the building. We find warnings in our automobile. Everywhere that we go, we will find these warning signs to help us understand there are dangers out there for us in life. But we also pointed out this morning that there are warnings in the Bible that will help us spiritually through our Christian lives. The only problem is sometimes man decides not to take heed of the spiritual warnings that God has given to him. We don't pay as close attention to them as we do the warnings that we see on the road as we're driving down the road, such as bridge out or sharp curve ahead. We pay attention to those because they can cause physical damage. But for some reason, we don't listen to God's warnings as we do each other's warnings. We also talked about how we needed to take heed of how we hear. And basically, we discussed how not to hear this morning in our study. So tonight, I want us to discuss the importance of being a good hearer. We need to take heed how we hear. And along with that, we're going to talk about some other things that we need to take heed of in our lives as Christians. So the question I want to ask right now is, what kind of hearer do we need to be? Now, this morning we talked about the kind of hearer that we do not need to be. But there are certain types of hearers that we need to be as children of God. And the first one is, we need to learn to be an obedient hearer. An obedient hearer. You know, when God speaks to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he began by saying, hear, O Israel. The first thing is he tries to get their attention, listen to me, hear me. Now, this word hear, it was a Hebrew word, and the Hebrew word is Shema, which simply means to hear in a way that will lead you to action. Now, when we hear things, sometimes we have to go to action, don't we? We have to respond to some of the things that we hear. Now, a lot of times we may hear something and we may try to ignore it. We may try to avoid it, to get it out of our lives. But sometimes we need to respond to some of the things that we hear. And this is definitely true from a spiritual standpoint. We need to learn to take action spiritually to the things that we hear. You know, back in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we find young Samuel here responding to God when God is calling for him. And we read in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10, again, the same word, Shema, is used here in this passage of Scripture, that it leads Samuel to take some action. And it says here, now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, your servant hears. So he speaks to hear what God has had to say, which is going to lead Samuel to some action in his life. We need to develop that spirit of obedience in hearing God's word. You know, we can hear something and then we can listen to something. There is a difference in hearing something and listening. When you hear something, you may just take notice of a sound or something of that nature. But when you're listening, you are paying close attention. You are absorbing that which you hear. And there's a difference in hearing and listening. So we must develop a listening obedience, which will cause us to action, that we will obey God in our everyday lives. Now, not only do we need to be obeying hearers, we need to be inclined hearers. Now, we can go back to the book of Jeremiah in verse 24, and he's talking about the children of Israel here. And it says, "Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward." Now, we saw this happen several times to the children of Israel. Throughout their journey in trying to take over Canaan, and after they got into Canaan, we find them not listening to God. They were not inclined to obey. They wanted their own way. They wanted their own things in life, and they were not inclined hearers. And it says here that because of that, they developed that evil heart. And as a result, they went backward instead of forward. Have you ever stopped to think that when you commit a sin in your life, that as a Christian, you're actually taking a step backwards? That's exactly what we're doing. We are moving back in the wrong direction from where God has told us to go. So we need to be inclined hearers, to be ready to move in the right direction and be that obedient in our lives. Not only do we need to be inclined hearers, we also need to be swift hearers. James tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 19, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." It is a true fact. You will learn more from your ears than you ever will with your mouth. Because you can't hear, you can't listen and talk at the same time. You ever been on the phone with anybody and you're trying to describe something to them, but they won't stop talking and listen to you? And, you know, it's almost like, you know, telephones are that way. Telephones will go bidirectional instantly at the same time. So, but it's almost impossible to listen on the phone and talk on the phone at the same time and know what you're doing both ways. That's not possible, is it? We've all experienced that, trying to tell somebody something when they're not listening. Instead, they are talking. James says you need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, because you'll learn more with your ears than you ever will with your mouth. We've got to be swift in obeying God's word. We have examples of that in the Bible. The people on the day of Pentecost, they were swift. Now, Peter preached to them a pretty taxing lesson that day, basically accusing them of what they had done in putting the Son of God to death. And when he finished speaking in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, it says that they were cut to the core, they were pricked in their hearts, and they shouted out to Peter and the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In other words, they didn't want to wait and find out later. Tell me now, what can I do to get around this? How can I overcome this? How can I undo this? They were swift in their judgment. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, Philip is preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, he started talking to the Ethiopian eunuch from the book of Isaiah. And the book where he was reading from was talking about the prophecy of the Son of God. When Philip finished preaching to him, the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Now, if you read back a few verses, you will learn that from what we read in this account of Philip preaching to the eunuch, the word baptism is not mentioned. In fact, it just says that he preached to him. Doesn't mention any of the things that we know that need to be done to be a Christian. But when he finished, the eunuch understood, I've got to take action. There is something that I have to do. Here is water. What is hindering me from doing it? So he was swift. He did not wait. Again, in the book of Acts chapter 16, verse 30, we find the Philippian jailer. As he is dealing with Paul and Silas, of course, we know that they were in jail there and he was the jailer there. And then when they were all released, he noted the fact that they didn't escape. And Paul said, "We're all here." That impressed him. He took Paul and Silas home with them. And the first thing out of his mouth was this, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He understood enough to know that there was something he needed to do. And they told him in verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Now listen to verse 32. "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house." First of all, they told him to believe the God. Believe the God that has done this great miracle right now that you witnessed. Believe the things that he has to say. Be an inclined hearer. Listen to him. And he did. And they taught him the word of the Lord. And verse 33 says, "He took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized." Notice the swiftness involved in that. In fact, you can go throughout the book of Acts and you will find no hesitation on the part of those who were being taught to obey the principles that were being taught to them. All of these people were swift, obedient people. So it's very important that we take heed as to how we hear. We must be an obedient hearer. We must be an inclined hearer. We must be a swift hearer. Now, next, we need to take heed in how we build. When we built our house in Alabama, I looked at the blueprints that the carpenter had, and he says, "We're going to lay out the foundation, and we're going to do it in such and such a way." Well, we went back to the house after they had cut and poured the foundation. The foundation that he poured did not match the foundation that was on the blueprint. They had removed 4 feet of our front porch and gave it to Mandy's closet in her bedroom, which, by the way, Mandy needed that extra 4 feet. So, being the fact that it had already been poured in concrete, that they would have had to rip up the whole house foundation to change that 4 feet, Mandy got an extra 4 foot closet. But again, the foundation did not match the blueprints. They were not careful how they built the foundation of our house. We need to be careful how we build on our foundation, our spiritual foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. "According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it." In other words, we need to pay close attention as to how we build our spiritual life. Now, you know, we talked this morning about those in the religious world today who kind of went off on their own and began building the way they thought it needed to be done, and they changed that which God gave to them. They were not taking heed from the Bible as to how to build. We are told to take heed how we build. Paul said, look, I laid the foundation. By the way, Christ being the chief cornerstone, and he makes that statement as well. And another person built upon it. So we need to be careful how we build upon that which we have to build on. Jesus mentioned building in Luke chapter 14. Verse 28 through 30, he says, which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all those who see it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So we need to be careful, Jesus says, that we continue with the foundation that has been laid for us. I want to tell you tonight, my friends, it costs a lot to build on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guess we all know that, don't we? There are things that we have had to make changes in our lives simply because we decided to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to put Jesus before anything else in your life. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, God is saying, if you put me first, you build on my foundation, and I will take care of everything else that you need. And that means, folks, we've got to put God before our families. We've got to put God before our jobs. We've got to put God before our personal interests, even ourselves in general. If we're going to build on Christ, we've got to build on Christ and nothing else. We've got to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, as Paul said in Romans chapter 1 or Romans 12 and verse 1. And this is a serious business. So the question for you is, are you ready to build that way? Are you ready to make adjustments to match the foundation that has been put down instead of going off in your own direction? And I got to tell you, it's not as easy as we think it is. It's definitely not as easy as it would be for me to do it like I like. Several times I went to my builder and I said, can we do this? Can we do that? No. Because the plan won't call for it. The plan, it can't work the way the plan is laid out. So I had to do without things that I would like to have had because the plan had already been set in stone and we couldn't make those changes. Jesus talked about being a successful builder in Matthew chapter 7. He talked about two builders, one being wise, one being foolish. The wise man built on a firm foundation. He knew what he was doing. He knew that he had to have something solid at the bottom for him to go up. And he put that something solid at the bottom. The foolish man, however, built his house on the sand. And if you've ever been to the beach, and if you've ever built a sandcastle on the beach, how long did that sandcastle stand? Not very long. With the first wave that came in, it was gone. We must learn to build upon a firm foundation. And folks, our firm foundation is Jesus Christ. Next, we need to take heed that we follow a wise plan as we build. And of course, we all know that the only reliable plan to follow is that plan that we have within the Bible. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 beginning. He said, in that from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul is telling Timothy exactly how to build upon the firm foundation, the correct foundation. Paul even gives us warning about changing the foundation that we build upon. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Now, he thought that was so important that in the next verse, he says the very same thing again. It is so important that we understand not only how to build, but where to build. We build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. But you see, this plan is perfect. It doesn't need to be changed. That's why you have thousands of different religious groups out there today all claiming to believe the same God, following the same God, but they don't go by the plan. And that makes them different. The one and only plan is what we need to take heed to build upon. And then we need to take heed that no one deceives us in our Christian life. Now this thought is found in Matthew chapter 24. Verses 4 and 5. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Now this passage implies that there are a lot of people out here in the world today that are going to claim that they have this gospel of Christ, that what they have is equal to or even better than the gospel of Christ. We've got to be careful because they will deceive us. And we can be deceived and led astray in many ways. Paul says there are many ways to be deceived. Number one, we can be deceived by smooth and fair speech. You ever talk to someone who was really smooth in their language? And they're so unrattled, they're so strong in what they're saying, and you really don't know how to respond to them? Listen to Paul, Romans 16, verse 17. "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." You know, there are a lot of people out there who has this ability to motivate you into doing something that you really don't need to do. Have you ever talked to someone about maybe buying a car or buying something that's fairly expensive, and you really don't want to do this, but after this guy gets through with you, you just get all pumped up, and you just can't wait to have what he's got and to buy it from him? I guess we've all done that to a certain degree. That smooth and flattering speech that can change your mind about something. Then Paul tells us also that we can be deceived by wind of doctrine. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. "By wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." That's how the devil got Eve. He used this craftiness that he had to make her think differently about that fruit that she was looking at on that tree. We can also be deceived by empty words. Words that don't mean anything. You ever talk to somebody and they may go 100 words a minute and just go on and on and on, and by the time they finish, they haven't said one thing that could be helpful to you. Paul says we can be deceived by this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. "And let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." What that means is that if we give in to that, we have disobeyed God. And we are subject to his wrath. And then Paul says we can also be deceived by means of disguise. You look at the picture on the screen. You see, the real person there is a wolf, but he's covering up the wolf with the sheep. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15. "And no wonder, for For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. We hear it every day, folks. We've definitely heard it today. If you turned on the TV, you definitely heard it today. Satan hiding his corruptiveness behind light. Satan is the deceiver of the world. He deceived the first couple that God made, Adam and Eve, through a serpent. He works through a multitude of people today to deceive you and me. And we need to take heed that we are not deceived. Final point. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. You know what Paul is telling us here? He is telling you, Christian, and me, Christian, we can fall. Paul admonishes us not to take heed to all of these things that I've talked about tonight, and all of these things that he mentions that can deceive us, trap us, lie to us, and cause us to fall. The Hebrew writer tells us that it is possible for us to stop believing. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Paul tells us that we can fall from grace. Now, a lot of people teach that you can't fall from grace. Yes, you can. Listen to Paul, Galatians 5 and verse 4. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. And it can happen to us. Jesus said we're like the branches on a vine. As long as we're attached to him, we can remain strong and solid and true. But the minute that we detach ourselves from Christ, we lose that foundation. We lose that strength. And we will not bear fruit. And Jesus said, John 15 and verse 6, if you don't bear fruit, you are cut down, gathered up, and cast into the fire. So now the question is, how can we keep this from happening to us? What can we do to keep from falling? The answer is found again in Scripture. James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God and the devil are complete opposites. As Christians, we and the devil should be complete opposites. Unfortunately, sometimes we're not. So we need to take heed of his many traps, his many devices that he uses against us. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And then the next verse gives it to us another way. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We need to take the advice of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, that's where the foundation is. That's where the strength is. That is the place, my friends, that we need to build upon. Now, let me bring out one more thing, and then the lesson is yours. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, teaches us that as children of God, If we make the decision to go back into the world, if we make the decision to put sin back into our lives, it will be worse for us than as if we had never become a Christian at all. Listen to it. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them to have never known the way of truth of righteousness than to, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. That's how important it is, my friends, that we build on that solid foundation and that we stay on that solid foundation. But here's a good thought. The fallen Christian can come home. John said it, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But, my friends, we must take heed. Because if we don't, it is almost an assurity that we will fall. The Lord has put these warning signs in the Bible to help us. To help us stay away from the devil. To help us stay away from sin. To help us build on that firm foundation. He tells us on what road to travel on, and he tells us on what road to stay off of. We just need to learn to do it. So my question tonight, my friends, is what road are you traveling on tonight? You're on a road. You're going somewhere. You're either following the path that leads to God, or you are following the path that goes the opposite way, and there are no other paths to choose from. So what road are you traveling on tonight? Are you traveling on the right road? Are you taking heed to the danger signs that are along the way that will keep you on that right road? The Lord has laid out his plan, and he expects us to follow it throughout our lives. So tonight, my friends, if you have never obeyed the gospel, you need to begin by rendering obedience to it tonight. Believe on him. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as God's Son. And be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you find that as a Christian you have not been taking heed of the warning signs and you've let yourself slip back into sin, take heed of those signs. Don't be blind to them. And come back to the Lord tonight. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.